How many of you feel comfortable sharing the gospel with someone? If someone said, tell me what Christianity is about, how many of you feel comfortable that just with your own words, you can tell them everything that that they need to know in order to follow Christ? Good. At least one, two. Come on, there's got to be more than that. Kind of here. All right. That's kind of where a lot of people are at. You're not really, a lot of times we don't really feel super sure about everything. But the interesting thing about the book of Romans is that you don't have to memorize the basic gospel message, because the gospel message is clearly laid out in the book of Romans. And this is called the Roman Road, if you've never heard of it. Have any of you ever heard of the Roman Road? Yeah. Okay. So if you take notes, this would be a good one to take notes on. Not that I'm saying what I'm going to tell you is amazing and you have to take notes, but it's a good, it's actually something good that's physically to have in your Bible. I have in the cover of my Bible, the Roman Road starts at Romans chapter 3. And so we're going to go through it. And the idea is that the road, the reason why it's called the Roman Road is, if you know, if you've been in this area, that there's still Roman roads around this area, and they have lasted a long time. You have the 2,000-year-old Roman Road that looks better than the 2-year-old modern road. And so it's the idea that the scriptures is a truth that is eternal, that's lasted a long time. And this is how you can start it in the book of Romans. So this is going to be a fairly short sermon today. I hope that's okay. I've never had anyone complain about a sermon being too short. I've heard people complain about being too long, but never too short. But maybe today will be. Who knows? Let's see. So basically the problem. What's the problem of humanity? Well, you can find it in Romans chapter 3. And this is the long version. You don't need all these verses, but this kind of gives the full thing. Scripture tells us, and if you're taking someone through this, all you have to do is you just start here and they can read it. We've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are alike under sin, all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So this is the problem that we're all in, that there is, in our natural state, there's no one that really is seeking God, no one that even knows where to go. And the fact is, we're all in the same boat. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This is the problem. And the cost of that problem is what? For the wages of sin is death. So this is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So after you finish with Romans chapter 3, this one, then you go over to Romans 6, 23. And it's actually kind of easy to remember, because you can start at 3:23, then you go to 6:23. And the wages of sin is death. So this is the cost of sin. A lot of times, one of the things that our world struggles with today, and you don't have to say this part that I'm saying, all you need to do is go through the scripture, but they struggle with the idea of sin. A lot of folks want to say there is no such thing as sin, and I can't imagine how people can look at the world and what's going on in the world today, how they see the injustices that go on in the world, the violence, the war, all the stuff, and say there is no sin, because all this stuff is the result of humanity's, you know, greed, desire for power, money. The wages of sin is death. But things begin to look up here. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which takes you to God's solution. So after you're in Romans 6:23, you go over to Romans chapter 5, verses 5-9. It says this: "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" So this is the solution of God. And what's interesting about this passage is that Christ dies before there's any Christians. Christ dies while we're still sinners. He's not dying for those that have proven themselves already worthy. And this is an important point, because sometimes people will say, you know, well, I don't deserve Christ to die for me. I don't deserve my sins to be forgiven, if they feel terribly bad about their past. And this is a good verse to point out, that Christ died the righteous for the unrighteous to bring us to God before there was any, if you can say, guarantee of anyone responding to it. God laid out the solution before anyone had responded in the place of faith, because we couldn't respond in the place of faith until the solution of God was presented. So can you earn this? Could anyone earn this? No. He died while we were still sinners. He didn't die as a response to our goodness. Some people actually think that too. Well, God, we're such good and wonderful things that God was willing to die for us. No, he died for us while we were still sinners. He died for us before there was any response to him. It's just, and this is just emphasizes the fact that you cannot earn your salvation. It's been presented to us by God. We go into the place of grace and accept what God has already done. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's God's solution to this place of sin, to the problem of the fact that we're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. He wants us out of it, so he dies for us. And our response to this is then the place of belief. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is our response to what God has done. God lays out the gift of faith through the grace of Christ, that he's willing to die for us. It's there. Our response to this is to acknowledge it. When we talk about belief, what we're really saying is that we acknowledge this as being true, and we confess it as being true in our lives. And this is why it talks about, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And sometimes people say, well, what about baptism? Do you have to be baptized to be saved? And we often point to this verse that says, no, salvation is about faith. Salvation is accepting what Jesus Christ has done for us. Salvation is about God's solution and our response to it. Baptism is a step of obedience. Baptism is important as a step of kind of the outward expression of the inward change that God has made in your life. Baptism is an important expression of communion with the church. It's an important expression of death to self, life in Christ. But it's not what saves you. The baptismal waters are not magic. It's a symbol. What saves us is belief in what Christ has done. And sometimes people look at this and they say, this is two different things. You have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And the way that the Hebrews understood things is that we were more holistic. As Western thinkers, we tend to break ourselves up into parts. We'll talk about we have a body, we have an intellect, we have emotions, as if we have all these different parts. And the truth is, we're more of a whole. We're kind of a holistic being. Because you know this. If you feel sick in your body, it affects your mood, right? It affects how you feel about life in general. It affects your emotions. And it says, so the idea that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, for the Hebrew, this is all one thing. You will express what is inside you. Jesus talks about this. He says, from the overflow, what comes out of the mouth comes from the overflow of the heart. That can be praise or that could be curses. You kind of understand where a person really is coming from when you listen to what they really are saying. It's not just words of platitude on Sunday. What do they say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? How do they live their lives outside the walls of the church? That's how you can really tell where a person's heart is. Jesus says, by their fruit you will know them. What are they saying? What are they really doing? And so for the Hebrew thinker, to confess with your mouth Jesus Lord, that's just normal. That's just what you would do if you believe in that Christ rose from the dead. So it's not two things. And then it talks about that the name of Christ is the name by which we'll be saved. And this is really the gospel in a nutshell. This is it. The effect of all this then is becomes the assurance of salvation. It becomes what we have our hopes in. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 2 says this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not works, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. That's a very there's a lot of Christianese words in this in these particular verses. But what it talks about, therefore, since we've been justified, what does it mean to be justified? It means to be found just. It means that you have been found righteous in a sense. It's not quite the same as righteousness. Justified is like, it's almost a court situation. You're in the place of guilt, but then after everything is all said and done, you've been found not guilty, you've been found justified. And how have we been found justified? Because we're great, wonderful people? No, through faith. Through faith in what? Faith in myself? Faith in my goodness? No. We have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So what's that saying? It's saying that Christ died for our sins. How do we grab hold of that? It's a bit of a it's a bit of an abstract thought that you can accept someone else's death for you. And we use words that don't quite grasp it. We use words like this. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? That's really a terrible way to put it. But it's really kind of the best thing we've got. It's like Churchill said that, Winston Churchill once time said, democracy is, it's laborious, it's complicated, it's slow, it's a terrible form of government, but it's the best thing that we've got. You know, and sometimes the words that we have to try and express what God's done, most of the times they fall far short. But when we say something like, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? What we're trying to say is, do you, by faith, believe that Christ's sacrifice can affect your life? If you do, that's that confession, believe in your heart Christ rose from the dead, confess Jesus Lord, then this allows us into this grace of God. What is the grace we're talking about? The grace of salvation, the grace of hope, the grace of eternity. You enter into this place. Grace means gift. In Greek, it means the word gift. Charis, it's the word charis. The word charismata comes from the word gift. And so you enter into this grace of God. And how do you enter it? He says it again, by faith. And that's the place you stand. And then this becomes his, this becomes the crescendo of Paul's letter. And especially as you're coming to this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is the assurance that when you are in this place of faith, nothing's going to pull you out of it. You're not going to lose it. It's not going to be taken away from you. No demon has the power to take it from you. You don't have to worry about, I don't know how you would worry about the past or the future taking it from you, but he's saying that there's no power. No spiritual power, no temporal power, no earthly power. Nothing can take it away from you. When you're in that place, when you're in the hand of God, you are in that place firmly and securely. Now, there may be some passages that people can look at, and I can understand, particularly ones in Hebrews that talk about the person that has tasted the goodness of God, who's fellowshipped with the Spirit, and then turns their back on it. But we're talking about a person here that doesn't want to turn their back on it. They may fail at times. They may stumble in their faith at times. But they want to be in this relationship with Christ. They will never lose that. And no one can take it from them. If you want to remain in Christ, you will remain in Christ. And so this is the effect. This is the assurance of salvation. And that's it. That's the gospel and the Roman road. It's pretty quick. And you don't really have to add anything to it. So I was just going to go through it now, just read the scriptures, and you'll see how it really explains itself, and I'm not going to add anything to it. This is just what it says. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is written with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to be able to add anything. You just take them through the Roman road. So I would encourage you to use this as a tool, as a way to explain the Scriptures, because it doesn't rely on you. You don't have to worry about your own understanding, your own eloquence, your own able to put together the flow of thought. It's all done for you. And so this is a little tool. This is called the Roman Road. I hope you find it useful to you. So, and if there's, are there any questions? We got not too many folks here, so we can throw questions back and forth. Any questions on this? Any questions about the verses? Anything that doesn't make sense in the verses? All right, like I said, I wouldn't even really get into that issue with them because then it's going to be confusing. What it says is no one can take it from you. You know, now, whether or not that means can you walk away from it, that becomes a whole different discussion. Once saved, always saved is unfortunately kind of one of those, or can you lose your salvation is kind of one of those things that oftentimes cause Christians to break in fellowship when it's kind of pointless to do so. You know, what it is saying is that no one can take it from you. And as far as the Hebrew passage goes, it's someone that has very definitely walked away, have chosen it. This will debate, will go back and forth, the once saved, always saved, perseverance of the saints, all this. You'll get totally off track. If the person asks you about, does this mean once saved, always saved, you can say, this means no one was ever going to take it from you. Any other question? That's a good question, though, because people ask that sometimes. No? All right. So, the assignment for this week? Take someone through the Roman road. And if you're too nervous to do it with someone that's not a believer, do it with a believer. Use it as a tool. I think one of the things that we sometimes fall short on as Christians is we don't really share our faith very often. And when it comes to, like, we'll be nice to folks, we'll be compassionate toward folks, but if we never really share the reason for the hope that we have, then all we've done is just we've been nice folks, but we haven't really affected anyone's life. And that's even in our own life. Cindy mentioned this neighbor who's sick. They run this Italian restaurant that's just right below our apartment, and we've gotten to know them over the years, and I've tried to teach one of the guys guitar, and I fixed his guitar for him and all that stuff. We've been trying to find these inroads into their lives, because they're lovely people, but they're lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And so, you know, we have to be very mindful as Christians to take the opportunities to share the gospel. And if you're nervous about it, and I know most of you are nervous about it, then let the Bible do it. All you have to say to someone is, well, let me just take you, you know, do you want to know what the gospel is about? Let me just take you through what the Bible has to say. You don't have to add any commentary to this. The Bible speaks for itself. And then at the end, if they have some questions, that's fine. But even most of the questions are answered in this. You might have to answer just questions about what does it mean to be justified? Because those are kind of churchy words. And justified just means that. You've been found just. You've been found guiltless. Grace, what is grace? Grace is a free gift given to you by God. You enter into what is the free gift of God? The salvation, the forgiveness of sin. You know, it's not rocket science. So that's this is the Romans road. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for what you've given us and what you've shown us in your word. And Father, we pray that you would guide us in our desire to share the gospel with our friends and our family members who aren't believers. And we have those in our lives. Every one of us does. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the opportunity this week to take someone through the Roman road, even if it's someone else who's a believer but can also use this as a tool just so they can learn it as well, that we will take what you've given us, your word, and to use it. The scripture says the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And Lord, that we would be willing to wield the sword, take it out of its sheath and wield it, and see people come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray that you would also instill within us a desire to know your word better. That instead of the Bible being just this big, confusing book, we can see it as the tool and as the resource that you've always meant it for us to be. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you for what we're learning as we go through the book of Romans, as we learn about the Apostle Paul. And Lord, just pray that you continue to guide us and grow us in our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.